In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ, don't you wish that you would have the same privilege that Samuel did? Don't you wish that the Lord would come down to you and speak directly to you and even call you by your name? Or don't you wish that you would have the same privilege that Philip and Nathanael and the other apostles did? Don't you wish that you could see the Lord, be in his presence, and be able to worship him and listen to him and follow him? At some times, do you think you got maybe a little bit of a raw deal because you're not living during the time of the prophets or the time of the apostles, where it just seems like the Lord was so visible and talking with his people? Have you ever thought that way? I think many of us have. I know I have. When I hear that story of our text of the Lord calling Samuel, it's easy for me to maybe be a little jealous or maybe even have a little bit of regret that I didn't live during that time where the Lord would speak to me directly and call me by my name. I know I've felt that way before, and maybe you have as well. But whenever I feel that way, I need to remind myself of this truth. I'm not missing out on anything. Neither are you. For you see, the Lord is just as present today as he was during the time of the prophets and the time of the apostles. In fact, the Lord speaks to you today, just as he spoke to Samuel, just as he spoke to Philip and Nathanael. And at times, the Lord God, he even will call you by your name. And how can I say that? Well, to answer that question, maybe it's helpful for us to see what would happen if the Lord doesn't speak to us. For look at the very first verse of our text from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's an absolutely terrifying verse. In fact, this verse is so terrifying that I think it's one of the scariest verses in all of Scripture. Listen to what the opening verse says. We read, "The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. So far, so good. But then the Lord says this, 'The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Prophetic vision was not common.'" Do you see why that passage is so terrifying? My entire existence depends on God speaking his word to me. For it was the word of the Lord that created me and formed me and gave me life, as we sang in that psalm, Psalm 139. And more than that, it's the word of the Lord that created faith in my heart and sustains that faith inside of my heart so that I can receive that new life in Christ, that life that I will get to enjoy for all eternity. For the word of the Lord reveals Christ to me. Or to put it in different terms, through the word of the Lord, Christ comes down to me. I don't go to him, but he comes down to me. And he comes down to me through that word to do great things, to do miracles in my life. In fact, it's the only way that great things and miracles happen in my life. It's only if the word of the Lord is spoken to me. After all, this entire world was created by the word of the Lord. Jesus healed the sick, drove out demons, rose the dead by the word of the Lord. Faith is created and strengthened and sustained in your heart through the word of the Lord. Yes, God himself is present in that word. He comes down to us through that word. It's why my entire existence depends on God speaking his word to me. And since our entire existence depends on God speaking his word to me, on God coming to me through his word to do great things, well, then is there anything more terrifying than to hear that that word of the Lord, that life-giving, life-saving word, that word can become rare. For if God doesn't speak his word to me, I don't have life here on earth. But worse than that, if God stops speaking his word to me or he makes it rare, I don't have Christ. And so I don't have his forgiveness. I'm still dead in my sins. And the only thing I can look forward to is death, eternal death in hell. It's why it's so terrifying to think that this word of the Lord could be rare. And what's perhaps more terrifying is that in our text, the Israelites brought that punishment all upon themselves. For you see, this text takes place at the end of the book of Judges. And if you know anything about the book of Judges, it's a time when Israel wasn't very spiritual. They were refusing to hear the word of God. They were refusing to trust in the word of God. They didn't do what the word said. A theme in the book of Judges is everyone did as he saw fit. And that makes sense. If you're not listening to the word of God, you're going to do whatever you think is best for you. And so it wasn't God who was making his word rare on purpose. He didn't want to see the Israelites suffer. Instead, they were rejecting his word. They were rejecting him. And so in response to their rejection, God was making his word rare. And let's be warned as we look at that first verse of our text. The same thing could happen today. If we stop listening to this word of God, if we stop trusting in this word, this life-giving word where God comes down to me and you to do great things, if we stop following the word of the Lord can become rare today. Even during a time where the word has never been more readily available. I mean, we carry it around on apps in our phone, or you can listen to devotions or sermons online at any time, or when the weather is negative, whatever, you can stay home and still have church by streaming it, right? Even during this time where the word has never been more readily available, if we stop hearing it, stop listening to it, stop following it, the word of the Lord can be rare, or more than that, if we stop seeing that Christ is present through it, to do great things, we are making the word of the Lord rare. It's what happened in our text. And it can happen today. It's a warning for us. But despite how terrifying that warning might be, I hope you don't miss the comfort in the rest of the story. You see, due to Israel's sins, God would have had every right to keep his word rare. In fact, he would have had every right to hide his word from the Israelites forever. They then would get the punishment that they deserved. But God couldn't do that. He loved those people too much. So what did he do? He came to Samuel. Samuel didn't go up to him and try to ask for some advice. No, he came down to Samuel. And he spoke to Samuel. And he called Samuel to be a prophet, to be someone who would proclaim that word of the Lord to people so it wouldn't be so rare. What love the Lord was showing to his people by calling Samuel to be a prophet. And more than that, notice that when the Lord called Samuel, he called Samuel by his name. On three different occasions, the Lord called Samuel by his name, for he knew Samuel by name, and so the Lord came down to Samuel, used his name, and spoke to him. And as we were talking about in the beginning of the sermon, the same thing can happen to you today. For just think of your baptism. You were born into a world where God should have kept his word rare, right? In fact, you were born into a world where God should hide his life-saving word from us and from all people forever. Just think about the way that the scriptures describe all people by nature. It's not pretty. It talks about us rejecting God, hating God, being hostile to God. And so God would have every right to make his word rare for you. He would have every right to hide his word from you forever. But he couldn't do that. Not to you. He loved you too much. In fact, he's loved you from before the creation of the world. From before the creation of the world, he chose you to be saved. Before he made anything in this world, before he spoke that life-giving, life-saving word for the first time by saying, "Let there be light," and behold, there was light. Your God, he already knew you. He already loved you. And he already had this plan of salvation for you. This plan where he would send his only begotten Son into this world for you so that he could die for you, so that he could rise for you and win for you redemption. He had all that planned out for you from before the creation of the world because he has loved you from all eternity. That's amazing to think about. It's amazing to think about how he knew you. He knew you by name from before the creation of the world. It's why he planned out your salvation. And since the Lord Jesus Christ has taken on human flesh and did come into that world to win salvation for you, when you were baptized, God came down to you. You didn't go to him, but he came down to you and he spoke to you. In fact, at your baptism, he even called you by your name, just as he did with Samuel, a name that your Lord God has known from all eternity. For when you were baptized, when the water and the word was poured over your head, I am sure your name was spoken, right? At every baptism I have ever witnessed, the person who is being baptized, his or her name is spoken. While you might have heard the minister or whoever was doing the baptizing speaking that name, ultimately that was the Lord God who is calling you by your name, telling you, not the person next to you, but telling you that you are my dear child. And you now have a status or an identity of someone who is saved and worthy of eternal life. That's what the Lord God said to you at your baptism. In fact, it's what the Lord God continues to say to you every time he absolves you of your sins. For when you confess your sins, as you did at the beginning of this service, when you admit all your faults, then the Lord, once again speaking through whoever is absolving you, the Lord says to you, "I, Lord, forgive you." Not the person next to you, but "I forgive you." Make it personal. He once again is calling you by name, saying, "No matter what sins you have committed, they're all gone. I have took them away. They're washed away in my blood. They cannot harm you any longer." And he's calling you by name once again, just as he did with Samuel. And since the Lord God is still coming down to you today, since he is still speaking to you today through baptism, through absolution, through his holy word, you can be certain of this. You can be certain that no matter what the Lord God says to you in his word, it really is going to happen. Remember, he's present in his word, right? He's present to do great things. And so at your baptism, when he said, "You are my child," you really were made his child. And in absolution, when he says, "I forgive you," your sins really are forgiven. They're taken away forever. When he says to you, "I am with you, and I will provide for you, and I will protect you, and I will keep you safe from Satan, and I will guide your life for your eternal good, and one day I will take you home to heaven," when he gives you all of those promises, they really will happen, for God is present in his word to do exactly what it says. And since God is present in his word to do exactly what it says, what else can we say but the same words that Samuel said in our text? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Not because we have to, not because we've been trained like the military to say, yes, sir, no, sir. No, that's not why we say that, but we can't help but say, speak, for your servant is listening, because we know that whenever God speaks to us, God is coming down to us to do what it says, to do all those great things, all those miracles in our life, including giving us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so you're not missing out on anything right now. You're not missing out on what Samuel experienced or what Philip and Nathaniel experienced. Because God is still coming down today. He's still coming down and speaking his word to you. And at times he'll even call you by name. He did that at your baptism. He does it through absolution. He does it whenever you are in the holy word of God. The Lord is speaking to you. What a great time to be alive. For since the Lord is continuing to speak to us, we know that whenever we hear these precious promises of the Lord, that they will come true. For God will be present to do exactly what he says he will do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess that one true faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as found in the bulletin.